joy. That is, he is the giver of joy in our lives. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The angel said, "I behold, I bring you the good news of great joy." And we have meditated upon the joy that Jesus gives, which no circumstances can take away. No happenings can take away, because joy comes because of Jesus, and that happens in our hearts. It is the inner experience that he has given. Today, we are going to meditate on the second aspect, E, which is enlightenment. Enlightenment. Though it is light, but to be able to sync up with that letter E, try to put the word enlightenment, taken from John chapter 1 and verse 9. You can fill in the blanks. John chapter 1 and verse 9. Shall we all read this together, please, first? John 1, 9. "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." Lighteth, it says in some of the translations. Some of the translations, it uses the word illumines. And some other translations, like the New American Standard, it uses the word enlightens. This true light which coming into the world, just like good news of great joy the angels have proclaimed, when Jesus came into this world, he came as light. Why? In order to be able to give us light, to enlighten us, to enlighten us. Jyotirmayudu. In other words, he's the one who gives us light. He's the one who gives us light. Let's read this in Telugu also. Andram kalsi Telugu lo chadudamu. Nijamaina velugu undenu adi lokamunaki vachuchu prati manushyuni veliginchuchunnadi. Prati manushyuni veliginchuchunnadi. It is God's desire, as it says here, that he may enlighten people to know what is the truth. The true light has come in order to enlighten all men, all people. For those of us who understand the Urdu language, let's read this in Urdu language. Hakiki noor jo har ek aadmi ko roshan karta hai duniya mein aane ko tha. He is the one who came. Har aadmi ko roshan karta hai. He is the one who gives us light. He is able to enlighten every person. Are you enlightened? Have you been able to experience the enlightenment of God? Let us focus on certain aspects of this enlightenment that we have through Jesus Christ. The true light that has come into this world that has enlightened everyone. Who is this light? The Bible says in 1 John 1:5, as I keep opening the scriptures, either if you open it quickly, please do that. 1 John 1:5. 1 John 1:5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light." God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. And such is the kind of a wonderful God we have, because he is light. He himself is a light, and he wants to be able to make sure that we are enlightened because of the light that is in him. When Jesus has come into this world, he spoke certain things about the fact that he is the light of the world. You see on the right top, it's written, he said, "I am the light of the world." John chapter 8 verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. He has come into this world as the light of the world. There's a song which says, "Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see." You have opened my eyes in order to be able to see, because the light of the world has stepped down into darkness. John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "I am the light of the world," Jesus Christ said, "and he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." The reason why I'm quoting the scriptures as much as possible is so that the word of God will have an impact on you more than my words. God's word is so powerful that it can enlighten each one of us. And that is what we see here. We see that it is Jesus Christ who has come into this world. He has come into John chapter 12 also. John chapter 12 and verse 46. John chapter 12 and verse 46. I have come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. I have come as light into the world. And that is why we see lights that are put forth across the cities and houses and all. Why? Why are lights lighted around the houses? In order to be able to show forth that Jesus Christ is a light that has come into the world. And we want to tell people that Jesus Christ is that light. And that light of God is the one who gives us life. And that is why we see in John chapter 1, it says in verse 4, in him was life, and life was light of men. Life was light of men. The life of Jesus Christ itself is light. Do you have that light? Do you have Jesus in you? He is the one who gives that light. And he is the true light. That is where we read in verse 9. He is the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He is the hope, in other words. Some say, is there a ray of hope in my life? Is there a ray of hope? Have you heard about that small statement which says ray of hope? What is this ray of hope? It is a light of hope. He is a God who is a hope for the hopeless. There's a story that is told about the caverns north of Yellowstone National Park. The caverns or the caves, the natural caves. How the caverns north of Yellowstone National Park were discovered. As the story goes, one of the original explorers was walking along the top of that mountain and fell through a hole, and he dropped down several hundred feet into this cavern and was stuck in almost total darkness for over a week. No food, no water. He cried out every day, help me, help me. Hoping that somebody would hear his voice and figure out that he was down there. Sure enough, a guy came along and heard this faint sound and looked around and found the hole. They dug him out, and that's how they found this giant cavern. There are caverns here also in Virginia, right? Luray Caverns and other places. So they asked him, the one who was stuck in that hole for so long, they asked him, how did you hold on to the hope day after day, in the dark without giving up? He said, there was one little pinhole ray of light that was coming through, and I just kept focused on that ray of light. I just kept focusing on that ray of light. Many around us in this nation today are like that man down in the cave. They are in darkness looking for a way out. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's still shining today. He's the one who's a ray of hope. He is the light that has come into this world. We are all living in darkness, and we need a light to enlighten us. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 28. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 28. It says wonderfully about our life itself. Psalm 18. Verse 28. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. How does he enlighten my darkness? You light my lamp. In some of the translations it uses the word candle. You light my lamp. You are the one who lights my lamp. And it is the Lord my God who illumines or enlightens my darkness. You want to read it in any other language, probably Telugu language, in verse 28. Na deepamu veliginchuvadavu neeve. Neeve na devudaina Yehova. Chikatini naku veluguga cheyunu. He is the one who enlightens my darkness. Na deepamunu veliginchuvadu devude. He is the one who can light my candle, who can kindle the fire of my life. We are all human beings that have born with a physical life, but our spirits are dead, let me tell you. It's very hard to recognize this, But when we were born, because of the sinful nature because of which we were born, our spirits were born dead. It is like a candle that is not burning. But God is the one who came into this world in order to light our lamps. He came to enlighten us. He is the one who will light the candle in us. Not anyone. Not the one beside you. Not your family. Not your generation. It is not about whether you're born in a Christian family or not. Doesn't matter, my dear. All that matters is your lamp lit? Is your lamp burning? Ni deepam velugutunda? Veluguga unda? Lapate chikadiga unda? On chesaleda? Devude a particular candle ni veliginchuvadu. He is the one who can make your spirits come back to life. Physically, you may be walking around, running around, but in your heart of hearts, your spirit that God has given you, it may be dead. And he's the one who wants to give you life to that dead spirit. He is the one who has come into this world in order to give you life. In order to give you, in other words, light. Light is the one that he has brought forth. He is the one, my dear. Are you willing to be able to accept the fact that he is the God who is enlightening me? He is enlightening me. Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29 and verse 3. Please read. Job chapter 29, verse 3. His lamp shone over my head. His lamp shone over my head. And in that light, I walked through the darkness. There's a great painter by name Michelangelo. Probably you might have heard of him. The famous artist, Picasso, and many other paintings that he has painted. This Michelangelo, the famous artist, used a lamp attached to his head when he painted. Did you know that? He put a lamp on his forehead. He tied something and put a lamp. Why? He attached to his head when he painted. The reason he did this was to keep the shadow of himself from being cast on the canvas. He put that small lamp so that there is no shadow of any of his hands or anything that falls on the canvas. He wanted to make sure that the light falls fully on the product that he was creating, on the canvas. We need to keep Jesus, the light of the world, between us and the canvas of life. We need Jesus. That is what Job is telling. When his lamp shone over my head, the light, when it is shining over my head, it is helping me to be able to take the next steps. Jesus Christ is that light. He is the lamp that he has come into this world in order to be able to give us light. The first thing that we can notice about this enlightenment is, who is this God? The first thing that we can notice, he is the true light. We already read that. The main verse for this today's sermon. From John chapter 1 and verse 9. There is the true light that has come into this world. Let's please read that in any other language. John 1:9. Telugu evarina chadavandi. Yohanu rasina suvartha modata adhyayamu 9th vachanam. Nijamaina velugu undenu. Adi lokamunaku vachanu. Vachichu prati manushini veliginchinadu. He's come. He's enlightening you. Each one. It is God himself, Jesus Christ, who has come in order to be able to enlighten every one of us. Nijamaina velugu. What does it mean? Why did he have to say true light? When do you have to say true light? When there is a false light. When there are fake lights, you have to tell what is the true light. Otherwise, if there is only one truth, there is only one light, there is nothing, no need for you to be able to specifically give an adjective in front of it to say it is a true light. Many people are going after the so-called lights. That is why the Bible says there is this true light, Nijamaina Velugu. Many times there are fake lights. Maybe there are pictures with lights painted on it. That is not a true light. It is just a picture there. It is not producing light. My dear, what are we doing? Are we going after the so-called lights, or are we going after the true light? That is a question that you need to answer today. Jesus Christ is a true light. Not my words. Don't take it as my words. God's word is saying this. And God, when God is saying it, I just believe in it. He is a true light. He has come into this world to enlighten every man. The true light can enlighten every man. Nothing else. No other name other than the name of Jesus that can enlighten everyone. That is the greatness about this true light. 1 John, the first letter according to John. 1 John chapter 2. Let us see that. It talks about the true light here as well. Let us read that. Let us read verse 8 all together, please. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. Andram kalsi chadukunnam. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Telugu lo varnam chadavandi. 8th vachanam. చీకటి గతించుచున్నది, సత్యమైన వెలుగు, నిజమైన వెలుగు ఇప్పుడు ప్రకాశించుచున్నది. ఇఫ్ హీ ఇస్ షైనింగ్ ఇన్ యూ, యూ విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ద ట్రూత్. ద ట్రూత్ ఈస్ ద ఫ్యాక్ట్ దట్ ద లైట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ లైట్ ఈస్ ఆల్రెడీ షైనింగ్. హీ ఈస్ ద వన్. God is light, it said in 1 John 1:5. And here we notice in 1 John 2:8 that the true light is already shining. Is he shining? That's a question that we need to answer. Secondly, not only is he a true light, but he's also a great light. Great light. Let us see that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Light has dawned. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. If you want to refer, Old Testament verse. It's a prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote it hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And he prophesied that people who sit in darkness, people are sitting in darkness, they saw a great light. And those who are sitting in the land and the shadow of death upon them, a light dawned. Jesus Christ has come into this world as a great light. He has come into this world as a great light. Are you able to experience that great light? Telugulo chadavandi. 16 vachanam. Matthayi 4, 16. గొప్ప వెలుగు చూచిరి. చదవండి. వెలుగు ఉదయించిన, లైట్ హ్యాస్ డాన్డ్ ఆన్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ ఇన్ ద డార్క్నెస్. జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్ ఈస్ అ గ్రేట్ లైట్. హీఈస్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ అ ట్రూ లైట్, బట్ హీస్ అ గ్రేట్ లైట్ ఫ్రమ్ అ అడ్జెక్టివ్స్ పర్స్పెక్టివ్. హీఈస్ సో గ్రేట్ దట్ హీఈస్ అ మార్వెలస్ లైట్ ఆల్సో. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, because he's a great light. Ascharyakaramaina velugulonu manalni teesukochadu. And that is the greatness of that light. He's not only a true light, but also a great light. And then the third thing that we can understand about this wonderful light is not only the fact that only for a short time he lives and goes. No. He's not like the sun that comes and goes, but he is the Son of God, or S-O-N, who is there forever. He is the eternal light. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Lemmo, tejarilemo, neeku velugu vachinnadi. Get up. You get up. Udayinchanu. God wants to give you the morning light in terms of the fact that the freshness that you need to get up. Get up from your sleep. Get up from your darkness. Because Jesus Christ has come. Lemmo, Thejerilemmo. God is shining upon you. Even in verse 20 it says, your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane. Why? For the Lord your God is an everlasting light. He's an eternal light. And the days of your mourning will be over. Chadwandi? Yehovaye neeku nithyamaina velugu. Lord God, Devude neeku eternal light. The Jehovah God that is talked about. The God who said, I am. Jehovah God. He is a God who is saying that I am your eternal light. Everlasting light. Nithyamaina velugu. I will keep that light with you forever. It is not a light that when he lights upon you, that he wants to keep you enlightened and he wants to keep you glowing. He is the one who is your eternal light. He is there to be able to provide you the things that you need. And then towards the end he says, the days of your mourning will be over. The days of your mourning will be over. Because he's the everlasting light. If you read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it talks about the same thing, that there is no sun that is required in this new city, new heavens, because Lord God himself will be the light. He himself will be the light. Revelation, last chapter of Revelation 22 and verse 5, it says, the Lord God will illumine them. They will reign forever. There is no need of any light because God himself is their light. That is what happens forever in eternity. So these three things about the quality of the light. True light, great light or the marvelous light, and the eternal light. Now let us look at certain attributes or characteristics of light. What does the light do? What does the light do? You know what the light does? The first thing that you want to note down is that the light shines. The light shines. The purpose or the intention of light is to shine. That is the purpose of a light. Before Jesus was born, Jesus' cousin's dad, that is John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, he sang a song. And in that song, he talks about one thing. And I want us to look at that wonderful Christmas passage from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. It says in verse 78 and 79. It says, because of the tender mercy of our God, which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Or day spring from on high will visit us. Day spring, it says in the King James Version. Day spring, wonderful term. I really love that word. There were those times in the past when people used to send e-cards. They're still using e-vites. But there were times when people used to send e-cards. Now with WhatsApp and other social messaging systems like Facebook and others, people are not using e-cards also. But there was e-cards. And the most popular e-cards that were used to send out these kind of Christmas greetings was day spring. Even there are paper greetings also, where they still print them, day spring. What is this day spring? Who is this day spring? It is Jesus Christ, my dear. The day spring from on high will visit us or has visited us. And verse 79, to shine upon those who sit in darkness. The purpose of that light was to shine upon those who sit in darkness. And then, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Telugu Lord Chadwandi. Ah, అరుణోదయ దర్శనము మనకు అనుగ్రహించింది. వాట్ అ వండర్ఫుల్ టర్మ్ దట్ ఈస్, అరుణోదయం. ఉదయం, అరుణోదయం. హీఈస్ అ మార్నింగ్ స్టార్, ఆర్ హీఈస్ ద డే స్ప్రింగ్. హీఈస్ ద వన్ హూ ఈస్ గివింగ్ అస్ అ డే, టేకింగ్ అవే ద నైట్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్స్, టేకింగ్ అవే ద డార్క్నెస్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్స్. జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్ హ్యాస్ కమ్ ఇన్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్. హీ హ్యాస్ విజిటెడ్ అస్, హీ హ్యాస్ విజిటెడ్ అస్ మై డియర్, ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు బి ఏబుల్ టు ప్రొడ్యూస్ ద లైట్ ఇన్ అస్, విచ్ ఇస్ అన్ ఇటర్నల్ లైట్ దట్ హీ హ్యాస్ విజిటెడ్ అస్ సో దట్ హీ మే ఎన్లైటన్ అస్. దట్ లైట్ దట్ షైన్స్ ఈస్ అ పవర్ఫుల్ లైట్. There's an Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The light shines and his face itself is a light. When his face is turned towards you, it shines. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Imagine the face of God upon you. Seeing the face of God is not easy. It is a powerful, glorious experience. And that light, when it falls upon you, you will start shining. The face of God shining upon you. There's a song, Shine Jesus Shine. Fill this land with your glory. And in that, there is a verse which says, may our lives tell your story. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. You know what it means? Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. The face of God is falling on us and we are like mirrors. When face of God falls on us, that mirror, what does it do? It reflects the light. And it will let others get that light. And that is what the face of God is. In Jesus Christ, we can see that wonderful shining light. In book of Exodus, chapter 34, we don't need to open it. If you want to open it, you can. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 29, it talks about a man who climbs up a mountain. That name of the mountain was Sinai. If you want to go to the Middle East, you will still see that. And that man, Moses, he met God. He was able to experience the light of God. And when that light of God was upon him, he came down the mountain. When he came down the mountain, maybe we should read that one verse, Exodus chapter 34. Wonderful story that talks about the encounter of Moses with God. Chapter 34 and verse 29. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony, by the way, the two tablets are the Ten Commandments, five commandments and five commandments. He was holding them. He was coming down from the mountain. That Moses did not know that the skin of his face was shining because of his speaking with God. When he was having his interaction with God, Moses' face started shining. And when he came down, people had to cover his face because his face was so brightly shining. Why? Because God, he experienced God and he was able to have that shining experience of God on him. Let me tell you, that is the kind of experience that you and I need to have. When people look at you, it is not about your gloomy faces. It is about the fact that I met God. People are able to say, yes, this man has met God. I can see his face shining. In spite of the troubles that he's going through in his life, the moment he spends time with God, his face is shining. There's a story talked about in London, somewhere in UK, I think. Probably it's London. There's a rose garden. And a person who spends an hour there in that rose garden, when he comes out of that rose garden, he will be filled with that smell throughout the day as if he has put on perfume. And everyone who meets him can smell him and say that, you went to the garden today. I know that you went to the garden today because I can smell it. Why? Because he spent time in the garden. Can people say that this person has spent time with God today and I can see his face shining? The light shines so much so that we get to shine. There's a picture that I want to show that was interesting to be able to note. The inner light Just like joy is an inner joy, inner light. Hey, there's something different about you. What is it? That is what one of them was asking, the pumpkin. The carver gave me his light inside, and he can do it for you too. He kept the light in me. And I'm able to shine. You see, the face is shining. I'm totally shining, but you are not. But he can do that for you too. And the verse that is quoted is from 2 Corinthians. Let us look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read a few verses before that as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 onwards. Listen to this carefully. As I read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is preventing you from being able to experience or see the light of the gospel or the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? The light of the gospel, the God of this world, the things of this world, is causing you to be blinded. Our eyes are blinded so much so that we are in darkness. It's as if our eyes are closed. Something is blocking our eyes that we are not able to see. And then in verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The face of Christ itself is shining. And he wants to give that light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Light represents the glory of God. When the angels came, there was a glory of God that was shining. It was shining so much so that the shepherds didn't know what was going on. And then the angels said, behold, we bring you good news of great joy. Verse 6, light shall shine out of darkness. The shepherds were in darkness. They were in the night time. As shepherds watch their flocks by night, they see a bright new shining light. There's a song which talks about it. What? What is going on here? Sixth verse, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. మా హృదయములలో ప్రకాశించను. Yes, why are we sharing all this? Why do we have to share this? Because God has shined in our hearts. Jesus Christ, in the face of Christ, we can experience the light of God. When he is shining in our hearts, there is a difference. You see one from the other. Spiritually speaking, we should be able to have the light, inner light. You see that? Inner light. Do you have the inner light? Is Christ shining in you? Did he light the candle or the lamp inside you? The spirit, is it dead? Is it dark? Or is it lighted? If the spirit is lighted, you will be able to experience the wonderful things that God has done in your life. And your life will be shining forth in spite of the situations that we are going on in our lives. Last week also we meditated. In spite of the situations in our life, we can be joyful. In spite of the situations in our life, we can be shining. You see that? That is a wondrous thing about the light. The second thing that we can notice about the light is not only that the light shines, but the light separates. When the light falls on something, it separates something else. The light falls on the darkness and there is no more darkness. Genesis chapter 1, when God created the world, you know what he created first? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. What did God create first of all? Let there be light. Let there be light. and there was light. God intended light always because the world was dark. The earth was dark in verse 2. He could see darkness. And the first thing that he wanted to do was let there be light. And somebody said the electricity board has come into existence. That is a different story. That is the physical lights. But what we are talking about here is that the darkness that is here, God wanted light to come. Verse 4. God saw that the light was good. And God separated or divided light from darkness. Chadavandi or Nalgavachanam. Veru Parachano. The light separates. God wants to separate. When light is there, no darkness anymore. He wants us to live a separated life, or in other words, a sanctified lives. When there is light in us, it will help us to live a separated life. So much so, when the light is shining, that it will enable us to find faults in us. When there is light, when somebody says there is something, some mark or something, oh, you had coffee today? Some people say, how do you know? I see some mark on your shirt. Yes. How did they see it? Because there was light. And God wants us to be able to make sure that all those things that are not right in his sight, the sinful things, can get exposed when there is light. But people don't like it. When God came into this world, he wanted to make sure that we are separated from this world to get rid of our sinful nature. John chapter 3, wonderful chapter. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he talks about the greatest verse that is made wonderfully quoted, John 3:16. And we are not going to go into the John 3:16 on a different day. We'll meditate on that. But for today, let us go into John 3:19. John 3:19. Yes. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Light has come into this world. That's Christmas. Yes. Men love darkness rather than light. When light has come, still people are loving darkness rather than light. The true light has come into this world, but people are still loving darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil. They didn't want their deeds to get exposed. That is why they want to hide somewhere. Then, verse 20. Everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Light has come into this world, but you are running away into darkness. Why? Because you love evil. You love to do evil. Yes. Lest his deeds would be exposed. What does light do? It exposes. But, yes. He comes to the light. So there are two things that are clearly seen. One is, sin can be seen. Secondly, good works also can be seen in light. What are you doing? God wants to expose things out. He wants to reveal the sinful nature in you. When you go to the dentist or the eye doctor, what does he do? He puts a powerful light. He wants to see carefully what is going on in your life. He wants to see carefully. Without a simple light, it won't help. Regular light, it won't help. The powerful light, or a great light, something that really focuses so much so to say, hey, I see some cavities here. You need to fix. In that light, you can see the problems that are happening in your life. God wants to reveal such things in your life. Are you ready to be able to let yourself be known, be seen? He is a God who wants to reveal himself unto you. Let us look at some of the scriptural portions about the fact that it is the light that separates. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Please read. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. God wants to make sure that they are enlightened and that he may be able to reveal certain things that you're not supposed to be doing in your lives. The third thing that we can see here is not only is the light shining, the light separating, the third thing is light signals. What does signals mean? It's like traffic signals. What does a red light say? Stop. What do? You have to stop. If you don't stop, you know what happens. Either you get hit or you get caught. Or sometimes you feel that, oh, this time I'm not caught. Big thing. Oh, I did a big thing. You may think, but you're doing the wrong. So the Bible says that these traffic lights or lights are signals. That's why they're called traffic signals. Why? To be able to guide you. To tell you, hey, stop because there is other traffic going on. Green light, you move on. There's an arrow which tells you to take a left. They are signals. The light signals. That is what we read. In Luke chapter 1 verse 78, Zacharias, when he sang that song, he said, Arunodaya darsanam annan chadavam kadamanam. Luke chapter 1 and verse 78. When he was shining, what was that shining thing doing? It says in verse 79, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's a guide. He wants to guide us so much so that we may be able to experience the path that we need to take. He's a signal that he wants to let us experience himself in us. And that is why we see that his word is a light. The word of God. That is why we keep referring to the scriptures. This is our ultimatum, my dear. There is nothing else other than this word of God that is ultimatum in terms of our signals. Or, Lord, should I go or should I not go? Lord, should I take this direction or not? His word is the light. His word is the lamp. Psalm 119, 105. Please read. Your word, the word of God, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The path that I need to take, I need light. I need light in order for me to be able to take the path ahead of me. And finally, final three things I want to share and close. Now that we understood the attributes of this light, that he's a true light, he's a great light, he's an eternal light, and the characteristics of light is the light shines, the light separates, the light signals. So what? How does it apply to me? How does it apply to me? The first thing that you can notice is that we need to believe in the light. We need to believe in the light. We have read that. I want us to once again read that from John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 36 and 46. While you have the light, believe in the light. Don't think that you can wait for the end of your life. You don't know when your life ends. While you have the light, believe in the light. Do you believe in the light? That he's the true light? That he's a great light? That he's the eternal light? And he's the one who's shining in us? He's the one who's separating us from darkness, from sin? He's the one who's signaling in my life? Do you believe that? You believe in the light. That's what Jesus is saying. And if you believe in the light, you become the sons of light. You become the sons of light. And then in verse 46, it says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Will not remain in darkness. Do you believe in the light? Do you believe in the enlightenment that comes through the true light, which is Jesus Christ. In order to take away the darkness from us, to take away the sin from us, to take away the things that God doesn't want us to have, He wants to take it away so that we may be pure in His sight. So believe in the light. Secondly, abide in the light. That's what it says in verse 46. What does it say? Chikatilo nilichi undakunda, or remaining. You should not remain in darkness. His purpose is, when you believe in the light, when you are in the light, you won't remain in the darkness. You don't want to. But there are people who want to run away into darkness. The God of this world is blinding the people in order to remain in the darkness. He wants us not only to believe in the light, but also abide in the light. How do I abide in the light? The way in which I can abide in the light is according to His word. I may abide in His word. That's what it says in John chapter 15, that I need to abide in His word, abide in Him itself. While I abide in Him, I need to show forth some kind of a horizontal relationship also. While I abide in the light, John, he tells in 1 John chapter 2, listen to this carefully. 1 John chapter 2. We read verse 8, where it says the true light is already shining. Verse 9, please read verse 9. The one who says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is in darkness. Just by telling that I am in the light, that doesn't make you who you are. You need to live in the light. You need to not only say it, but show it. My vertical relationship is reflected in my horizontal relationship. If I say I am in the light, and if I hate my brother, in verse 9, he is in darkness until now. Let me ask you, my dear. Maybe you are thinking that you are in the light, but are you able to express that in terms of your horizontal relationship? Not my words. The Bible says, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. He's thinking that he's in the light. Fake lights, or his fake thinking. And then in verse 10, the one who loves his brother, what does it say? Abides in the light. Believe in the light. Abide in the light. If you love your brother, if you love the one whom God has created, in terms of being able to show forth the kind of love God showed towards them. If God is able to love that person, who am I to hate that person? Let us not have hatred against anyone. We may have hatred against the sin, but not the sinner. The Bible says, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for him to stumble. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness, walks in darkness, doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The God of this world has blinded his eyes. Light of the world, you step down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Last and final. Not only believe in the light, abide in the light, the last and the final one. Probably you might have guessed it already. Walk in the light. You need to walk in the light. I want us to be able to look at some of these additional cartoons. Sometimes it helps to think about these. Here in John chapter 12 and verse 46, it says, I am come a light into the world. Whoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. So here he says, this fog surely makes it hard to know which way to steer, but I believe that lighthouse will guide me to safe harbor. Lighthouse is there. And lighthouse is the one that is a signal for me to know that this is the direction that the ship should come towards, the lighthouse. And that is what is the light of the world. And one last cartoon and I'll close. After this, we'll discuss about the walk in the light, especially about the Christmas lights. You must have seen this. Hey, how can I get that light in me? And all the others who are lighted, they're saying, you got to get plugged into the wire. You need to get plugged into the wire. Just being a bulb elsewhere won't help. Just being in the wire won't help. You need to get plugged in. That is what causes you to shine. Are you plugged in? Are you plugged in? Jesus said, what did he say? Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Whenever you see these Christmas lights again, remember that you and I are like that Christmas light. Are you a light that is not glowing? Or are you a light that is plugged in to God to be able to get the power of God to be able to produce the light that shines in us? The last one, walk in the light. Walk in the light. 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He wants us to walk in the signal that he is showing us. Take this signal, take this direction. You go in this direction, but many times we are not taking the right direction. And God constantly keeps saying, take a U-turn wherever possible. Take a U-turn wherever possible. Why? Because you are going in the wrong direction. He wants to signal us and say, hey, come back. I am the one. I want you to walk in the light. Come back to the light. I want you to come to the light. And so much so that 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That fellowship is one who are in the light. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Veluguki, chikatiki, sambandhan ledandi. There is no relationship between light and darkness. There is fellowship with those who are in the light. That is why it says 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That great light has come into this world. The true light has come into this world. Have you experienced the light of God? Is your candle lit? You know well. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to experience the light of God.